We're turning to the book of Galatians and to the third chapter, Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 7. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be affirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that which should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God give it to Abraham by promise. Therefore then, serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. You'll find our text tonight for this gospel meeting in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. The first words of that verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're going to have prayer just now, and then we'll bring the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the open Bible. We thank Thee for our Bible reading tonight, reminding us that we're justified by faith and that not of works. Lord, a work's salvation is of man, but salvation by grace through faith is of God. And O God, we trust Thee. We long to know Thee and to know Thee more and more. And we pray for a real sense of Thy will and Thy purpose in our lives. Gracious God, speak to us now. Help us to know and experience the redemption that we have through Christ's blood. Help sinners to plunge beneath that flood, and may they lose their guilty stains. Hear us now and answer prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Surely no word or no truth is more comforting and helpful to a sin-laden soul than the great teaching of the gospel. The gospel is the answer to the need of mankind. And the gospel is the answer to your need here tonight. And whatever that need might be, it's true that the Lord Jesus Christ meets the need. And to a man or woman bowed down and burdened with sin, with a conscious sense of their loss and their need, there's no more comforting message, no more comforting word than Jesus saves, and He's able to meet the need of the human heart. Man is the only redeemed creature in the entire universe. And when you think of God's vast creation, when we think of the world that He has made, and we think of outer space, and even scientists trying to probe what's beyond in outer space, when we think of the vastness of this great universe, and then boil it down and think that man is the only redeemed creature of God's entire creation. God didn't redeem the animal world. He didn't redeem the vegetable world. The Lord redeemed the world of mankind. Sinners lost and ruined by the fall are redeemed by the blood of Christ, bought with the precious blood, and saved by eternal grace. What a Savior, and what a message. And we have so much to be thankful for. And yet when we come to think about it, there's no more ungrateful people in the universe, no more ungrateful creatures, I should say, in the entire universe than mankind. Because they have rebelled against the Lord, turned their backs on Him, and cried out against their Maker. What a tragedy that men and women are still doing that. And even maybe, for all I know, some in our meeting house tonight, and you're rebelling against the very God of creation. We thank God for the marvelous and matchless testimony of the grace of Christ. How that grace reaches us. It reaches you and it reaches me. And it reaches to the very lowest of society, to the very deepest pit, and lifts sinners up and brings them to himself and makes them kings and priests unto God. That's salvation. And that's what our Lord can do. Scripture reveals the many-sidedness of God's redemption, the many aspects to it, and the many blessings that flow from it. We are redeemed from things such as the curse of the law. Here in Galatians 3, verse 13, we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And surely our Lord Jesus was hanged upon a tree, being made a curse for us, the one who knew no sin, that we, the cursed, might be the redeemed of the Lord. We thank him for so great salvation, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from iniquity. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we read where Paul says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Praise God, we have been redeemed from all iniquity, not just some of it, or part of it, or the worst of it. Iniquity is all bad. Sin is all at its worst. Thank God we've been saved from all iniquity. We've been saved even from ourselves. For many is a time we are our own worst enemies, and the old flesh reigns and gets the better of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 we read, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? It's God's gift. And ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. We're not our own anymore when we're saved. We're the Lord's. We're the Lord's by right anyway, because he made us. And if you made something, then that thing is yours by right. But when God made us, and made us in his own image, and sinless and happy in the Garden of Eden, Adam fell. And because of his sin, we've all sinned in him, and fallen with him in that first transgression. And so, tonight we can be redeemed. The verse tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Bought us back. What we have lost in Adam, we have found in Jesus Christ. We have gained in the Savior and much more. Thank God, while paradise was lost, we have it regained in our blessed Savior. And you need to come to him and trust in him. Now, these important texts and themes which we have been bringing to you expound redemption. And we want to grasp it. We want to understand it and to believe that we have redemption by the blood of Christ. We have salvation through the Savior's blood. We can't ever preach the gospel without preaching the blood of Christ. For those who preach a bloodless gospel are not really preaching the gospel at all. They're preaching a false gospel which cannot save and cannot deliver. And so therefore, without apology, We keep on preaching Christ crucified, Christ blood shed, Christ on the cross, Christ risen, Christ able to save to the very uttermost. The language of redemption is the language of purchase or of ransom. That's what it is. Ransom is the securing of a release by the payment of a price. That's what a ransom is. We have heard of people being taken captive and held in foreign lands. And especially highlighted in recent times is the land of Iraq and Syria. And some have even been beheaded by their captors. But one Italian was released by these very same captors. Why? Because the Italian government paid a ransom. That's why. The British government, and rightly so, doesn't pay out ransoms. And sadly, these things do take place. But ransom is the securing of a release by the payment of a price. When slaves were released, their freedom was purchased by a payment called a ransom. A ransom was paid. Without it, they would not be set free. They would remain in captivity and also in great danger at the behest of their captors. And apart from such a ransom, deliverance could not be effected. It would not be realized. And just as slaves in the Roman Empire during the first century were redeemed in this particular way by paying a ransom, so the scriptures show to us that sinners can be redeemed from the broken law of God of which they're guilty by means of a ransom paid on their behalf. And that's good news for you and me. Good news for all of us, because we have broken God's law and we're held captive by that broken law, and we could never redeem or pay the ransom ourselves because we have nothing wherewithal to pay. We are sinners, unrighteous, unholy, and have nothing to present to God. And therefore, we needed a perfect ransom, a perfect sacrifice, and someone who was without sin, who could pay that price. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into this world and he paid the ransom through his death upon the cross. He gave the ransom price in his own life and blood shedding at the cruel death on Calvary. And we rejoice tonight that there is a way to God. There is a way out of this predicament. And we thank God that the Lord Jesus has paid that ransom price. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what the Gospel of Matthew tells us. And in 1 Timothy we're told that he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so redemption, viewed as a saving mercy from God in Christ, is only by the payment of a price. And this payment secures the liberty, the liberation from the bondage of our sin. And my friend, Jesus paid that ransom. and secures for me my liberty in the gospel of saving grace. I'm glad that as a young boy of 14 years of age, God showed me the truth of this gospel teaching, showed me my need and opened my eyes, and I beheld Christ and saw him as my ransom, paying the price for my sin. And he gave me the grace just to put my trust and by faith to receive him as my Savior. You need to do that. And if you don't, you'll be lost. You'll perish. Because there's no other. There was none other good enough to pay that ransom price. Only Christ. There are many religions in the world. There are many calls to people today begging their attention, seeking their allegiance and their adherence and their worship. But my dear friend, there's only one call that's worth anything, and it's the call of the gospel. It's the call of Christ to sinners. It's the call of heaven coming down to you and me, to mankind, saying, call upon me, seek me with all your heart, and thank God those that seek him will find him. Will you seek him tonight? Will you call upon him? This payment secures the liberty of those in bondage. And Peter expresses it very well in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Here he tells us that we're redeemed from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. You notice our condition when grace comes and reaches us. Peter tells us that we're in a vain condition. A vain condition. The nature and the beginning of our natural state are plainly described in Scripture. Our redemption is from a lifestyle that is vain. Our pardon is from a lifestyle that is vain. That is one that is useless. Maybe you're trusting in some sort of self-religion. I tell you, it's vain. It's useless. You may be trusting in good works. It's vain. It's useless. With no purpose or with no goal. It will let you down. It is futile. It is pointless. Leading only to a terrible end. And all the time, producing the unfruitful works of darkness and the deceptions of hell. My friend, you need to be released and liberated. Christ has paid the ransom, and he's the answer. We repeat that again. And thank God he's able to meet your need. The origin of such an empty life has a human source to it. Men and women living vain lives in sin and emptiness, in iniquity, far from God. It has its source in a human source that goes back all the way to our first father, whose name was Adam. Takes us right back to the Garden of Eden. Sin and corruption are stamped upon mankind. Stamped upon you. Is it not a slavish condition to be subject to the dominion of sin? You're subject to sin. There was a time you'd love to have been freed from your sinful habits, but you weren't able to do that. My friend, you're subject to slavery, the slavery of sin. You're under the dominion of sin. You cannot break the habit. You're under this condition, and you're incapable of having a godly disposition of heart and a godly attitude and a godly mind. You're incapable. Oh, you'd loved and you'd have longed to have had it maybe some time back, or maybe even now. But my friend, there's nothing you can do to break sin in your life. The good news is this: there is redemption from this dire condition. There's redemption. There's salvation. But that redemption is not by means of corruptible things, as Peter has told us. It is not in any of these things. Everything connected with this world and this life is corruptible. Even precious things such as silver and gold. And Peter tells us we're not redeemed with silver and gold. Not even these precious commodities. These are amongst the world's most valued things. And yet they are incapable of bringing salvation. Why? Because they are corruptible. And they belong to this corruptible world. Yet the soul that will receive an heavenly inheritance and receive an assurance that they're going there will only be received through Jesus Christ, the only Savior and Redeemer. We cannot be ransomed by silver or gold, or by works or any other means. Are not Peter's words an inspired commentary on the reality that no sinner can ever be redeemed from the bondage of sin and corruption by human wealth of any kind? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Will you come that way? The psalmist declares in Psalm 49, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or himself, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's plainly stated. That does away with all earthly man-made religion. The soul that is redeemed belongs originally to the one who redeemed him. The redeemed of the Lord are his, and thank God will always be his. There'll never be a time when we'll not be his again. Sin has had separated us from God, but through the ransom Christ paid at Calvary, through his redeeming blood, the redemption in his blood, we are brought nigh to God and will be his for all eternity. Christ said in his great high priestly prayer, he said, thine they were, and thou givest them me. Thank God, since we belong to the Father gave them to Christ, and Christ purchased them by his blood. What a wonderful salvation. He came to do that. He came to redeem his own, and he did it willingly by paying the ransom price. His blood is precious blood. And what makes that blood precious? What makes that blood precious is the dignity of the person who shed that blood. He was not just a man. The Lord Jesus was not just a good man. And he was not just even a sinless man. He was all these things. But he was the God-man. And he shed his blood as such. The blood of the Christ, the Anointed One. is the blood of the Lord Jesus, God's final prophet and priest and king. And there's intrinsic value in his blood, as it is the blood of God shed on the cross of Calvary, possessing all the worth of God manifested in the flesh. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. Precious also because he shed it as the true Lamb of God, the only Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. He's the true Lamb from all eternity, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. All other lambs slain in the Old Testament were but types and shadows of the one that was to come. John the Baptist got it right when he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The price of our redemption is the shed blood of the Lamb of God. The Lamb slain, the Lamb upon the cross. And all this means that his blood is of priceless worth, better than silver or gold. And only those who believe in him have the marks of redemption upon them, the blood marks of the Savior and his forgiveness. They've received forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Their joy is that Christ is their redemption. He has ransomed them from the slavery of sin. He has regenerated them and made them his own. And thank God, when the redeemed fall asleep, and one day we will all fall asleep, we will die, and the redeemed will fall asleep in Christ, they'll do so rejoicing that they are redeemed. But at death, they will not have received their full redemption. Why is that? Their redeemed souls will go to heaven. There's no doubt about that. But their redeemed bodies will be in the grave, and they'll lie there until Christ comes again. And then the redeemed soul in heaven and the redeemed body in the grave will meet and be reunited, and then will be the completeness of the redemption purchased for us at the place called Calvary. Even these bodies which will see corruption are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. But at the resurrection, they'll be changed and fashioned anew, like unto his glorious body. And as that day approaches and comes, what a day it's going to be, when a corrupting body in the clay arises and is fashioned like his glorious body, reunited with the soul and forever with the Lord. What a day of redemption that will be, and triumph and of victory. We thank God for what lies before. We thank God for redemption through the blood, for all that is entailed in it. The half has never been told. And praise God, we'll rejoice with him for all eternity because of what the Savior has done on our behalf. I trust that tonight you'll see the value of redemption and the meaning of it. You'll understand it, and that you long in your heart to be redeemed. Come as a guilty sinner to Christ. Repent of your sin and trust him, the one who took your place, offered the ransom, paid the price, that you might be saved for all eternity. May God bless his word to all of our hearts.